Today, Srimad Bhagavatam 11th canto, 7th chapter, Lord Krishna instructs Uddhava, text number 16. So aham, mamaham, iti, mudha, patir, vigadha, san, mayaya, virachitasmani, danubandhe, tu, anjasa, nigaditam, bhavata, yathaham, sansadayami, bhagavan, anushadi, prithyam. So, aham mamaham iti mudamatir vigadha.
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 Tanmayaya virachitatmani sanubandhe.
Tanmayaya
Pranmayaya virachitatmani chanubandhe Sakanjasa nigaritam bhavata yathaham
Sakanjasa
nigaritam bhavata yathaham Sansadayami Bhagavan Anushadi Vrityam
Sansadayami Bhagavan Anushadi Vrityam
Sansadayami Bhagavan Anushadi Vrityam
Sansadayami Bhagavan Anushadi Vrityam
Saha
Saha
Ti
Ti
Aham
Aham
I Mama Aham
Mama Aham
The false concept of I and mine Iti,
thus,
mudha,
most
foolish,
mati,
consciousness, vigadaha,
merged,
vatmayaya,
by your illusory potency,
Virachita,
manufactured,
in the body, the anubandhe,
along with bodily relations,
therefore, to
indeed,
anusa,
easily,
nigaditam,
That instructed.
Bhavata, by you. Yatha, process by which. Aham, I. Sansadayami,
may execute.
Bhagavan,
my dear Lord.
Anushadi,
teach.
Pritcham,
your servant.
Translation. My Lord, I myself am most foolish because my consciousness is merged in the material body and bodily relations, which are all manufactured by your illusory energy. Thus I am thinking, I am this body, and all of these relatives are mine. Therefore, my Lord, please instruct your poor servant. Please tell me how I can very easily carry out your instructions. Purport. It is very difficult to give up false identification with the material body, and thus we remain attached to our so-called bodily relations, such as wife, children, friends, and so on. Bodily attachment causes intense pain within the heart, and tears stung by limitation and hankering. Sri Uddhava, a pure devotee of the Lord, here speaks like an ordinary person, showing how to pray to the personality of Godhead. We practically see that many sinful persons enter the international society of Krishna consciousness, and after preliminary purification become
become most repentant for their previous illicit activities. They are shocked when they realize how they gave up the personal association of God to pursue the useless forms created by Maya. Therefore, they wholeheartedly pray to the spiritual master and Lord Krishna to be engaged eternally in transcendental devotional service. Such a repentant, eager mentality is most auspicious for spiritual advancement. The Lord certainly answers the prayers of a repentant devotee desperate to escape the clutches of illusion. Soham mamahamiti modamatir vigadas pannaya yachitatmaya sanam vande katanjasari laritam bhavatayatam samsadayami bhagavanan shadi vityam. O my Lord, I myself am most foolish because my consciousness is merged in the material body and bodily relations, which are all manufactured by your illusory energy. As I am thinking, I am this body, and all of these relatives are mine. Therefore, my Lord, please instruct your poor servant. Please tell me how I can very easily carry out your instructions. Oma Yati Mirandasya Gananjana Sharakaya Shakshurumitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanamano Vittam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svamrupam Vitamayam Dasati Svatantikam Jayati Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasani Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. Sri Uddhava is representing all of us, the conditioned living entities, and he is praying to the Supreme Lord as if he were a conditioned soul. And he is doing that so we can benefit from his sincere prayers. Nowadays, sincerity is something which is very rare to come about. Everybody is trying to be something different than what they actually are. To be sincere means you are utterly truthful. You're completely honest. Now everybody today is a wannabe. They all want to be something different than what they are. That's why everybody is dressing up and behaving in so many different ways, trying to escape their actual identity. But because all those different costumes are simply external masquerade, like when you have a carnival, or what do you call it here in Australia? What is it called? Mumba. They're doing the floats and they're doing all the, you know, different stuff. And they're dressing up as this and that, and they have floats and there's themes, and everybody's trying to be somebody they're not. And everybody's having a laugh, everybody's having a good time, a ball, because they think, haha, this is so funny. But Monday to Sunday, they're doing the same thing. They're dressing up and they're pretending to be something which they're actually not. For no spirit soul is a lawyer, a banker, a clerk, a security guard, a housewife, a student, an old man, a young man. These are all external designations. These are all simply bodily designations which are as temporary as the body which we inhabit. And therefore, this conception of I am mine, Ishwaroham aham bhogi, I am the controller and the enjoyer, and I am this body, and everything related to this body is also mine, it belongs to me. It's like they say everywhere, our country is the best. India is great. Or Australia is great. Why is it great? Because I am born here. In most of your cases, not even born here. You came here. I live here. So that's why the country is great. And what if you would not live here? What if you were not born here? Would it also be great? Or the greatest? Or would it be any lesser than that? So it is all based on false ego, on ahankar. Because I am here, that's why now, finally, she has become the greatest. So,
We think this body is a very cherished possession, and we can enjoy tremendously through this body. But then, when the living entity is faced with suffering due to the threefold miseries of material existence, adhyatmi, kativoti, kadidhairi, klesha, these different kleshas, which are caused by the body and mind, by other living entities, and by superior powers, like demigods, and the living entity gets very disturbed. Gets very disturbed. What is this? My plans have been baffled. And he becomes a little bit thoughtful, a little bit inquisitive, but only for a short time. Because always he's anxious. No, I can make it. If I just endeavor a little more, I can make it. I can actually be successful. Yesterday I had a person that was distributing books on Swanson Street. And he said, yes, karma, I believe in that. What comes around goes around. It makes perfect sense. But reincarnation, you know, I have worked so hard to come to this elevated state of who I am. So I don't want to give this up. And I tell them, my dear friend, I've got good news for you. You can take your false ego, your mind, all your achievements, whatever you have built up to be, you can take that to your next body. He said, okay, how much? I buy this book. I like it. Because before he was always very skeptical about reincarnation. Because he thought he'll lose it all. Huh? But now that he knows that he can take his great achievement, his false ego, with him to the next destination, he was very happy to purchase Bhagavad Gita. Huh? And he had a great talk. And actually was a bit sarcastic, so he was introspective. He was inquisitive. But a lot of times people say, I don't like this because it means it will ruin my sense gratification. It will put in question the very basis of my existence. It would put too many question marks, too much uncertainty. People want to know what they can expect. And that's why they are just accepting even mundane sub-religious principles. Why? Because they know what to expect. If I go to my temple, church, or mosque, or synagogue, I know what to expect. There is certain rituals, there are certain functions, there are certain do's and don'ts. And if I behave in a certain way, I will get a certain result. But in Krishna consciousness, that's not the case. You may come here, and you may behave very nicely, and put some money in the box, and bow down, and then somebody comes and says, my dear sir, you're just a fool. You should surrender to Krishna and give up your attachment to your body and your bodily consciousness and to wife, children, home, nationality, friendship, and so on. That person might be a little bit disturbed. What is this? I've played by the rules. I've been a good guy. And now you try to put in question the very basis for which I have studied, for which I have worked so hard for decades to build up my empire. My people are very proud. Oh, this body is my greatest possession. I have trained so hard. I have put in hundreds of hours in the gym, and hundreds of hours on the beach, and hundreds of hours on the bicycle. And now, you're questioning my most cherished, my most prized possession, my body? Yes, it will get old, it will get diseased, and it will die. Even if you're Hercules, even if you're Arjuna, all these bodies, they just crumble because they are not eternal. But the living entity, which is in its original state eternal, and is faced at every step with temporality, with terminal, with fatal situations, is feeling very uncomfortable. Actually, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, the spirit soul, the jiva, is always feeling slightly uncomfortable in the material world. Because this material world is like camp life. We're like moving from one campground to another. And it's like if you go camping, you know? It's never really perfect. But you don't care because you're just there for a night. So you put up your tent and you just do your thing. And you know the next day I'll pack up my stuff and I'll move. Like when you go on parikrama. It's not that you check out the scene and you think like, okay, where can I put my thermal rest? It's got to be a scenic spot, you know, something to remember, something to write home about. No, you know, I'm here for one night. What do you care, right? You're not taking all your pictures and you put them up. There's no walls to put them up. So why should you be too worried? You know, in your home, everything has to be in its perfect place, and everything has to be symmetrical and nicely arranged. Well, we're in camp life here. Any moment, somebody may come and say, "Hey, you, get out." Oh, what's this? What do you mean, get out? Yeah, you, get out. Game over. What? I haven't even started playing. I've just come to the table. I've got all my chips here. I guess they drove back this big casino, Crown, you know. And I met many people. They had hundreds and hundreds of dollars in their pocket. And I'm like, are you going for Christmas shopping or no? I'm going to the casino. And they know they will lose all this money. They know it. Or when they draw it from the ATM, they know I will walk out of this casino with no money in my pocket. But no, I have to do this. Why? Compulsive. They're addicted. They're so addicted. And if you tell them, just give $50, come on. You got about $700-$800 in there. Just give $50. It'll bring you good luck. No. Huh? I need this. I have to use this for something different. But the living entity who has a spark of goodness, a spark of pride in his heart, he will say, yes, why not? I will lose it anyway. Why not give something for a good cause? I was distributing books in Bali in a place called Monkey Forest. There's a lot of monkeys there, a lot of old trees, and some stone murtis. So a lot of tourists go there. And it's very hard, very difficult, because everybody really pretended hard to be a tourist. And you know, you can't wake somebody up who's pretending to be asleep. If somebody's actually sleeping, you can wake them up. But if somebody's pretending to be asleep, it's very hard to wake them up. Like you see sometimes in Brahmachari Ashram. You try to wake up your fellow Brahmacharis. And if they're actually asleep, it's not so difficult. But if they're pretending to be asleep and they don't want to get up, it is very difficult to wake them up. So one driver of a bus, he had about 10 Aussies in the back. And he came out, local fellow from Bali, and he had Netflix, he was a devotee. And he just started talking with me and shooting. He completely forgot about his job, about his tourist in his house. And he bought books, and we had a really good time. And then the people were like, man, you know, we gotta get on with our life. So then he said, and he started to preach to them, and wanted them to get the book. And they were not into it. And he said, you know, you just give me something, you know, as your tip, and then you get a book. And they were like, no, we'll give you money, but we're not taking this. So hard they were trying not to, to do anything. Like sometimes you see people, they're even interested. They want to have the book, but they're too miserly at heart. They're creeping us. They can just not give you that $2 or $5, you know, they just can't. It pains them too much. They can't get it over. So there was another fellow, a French bus driver, and he didn't speak any English. He said, look, I cannot read this book. From Spain. And I said, look, it doesn't matter. You just take this book into your bus and it'll help you. It will be for good luck, you know. He said, you're sure? You convinced this book will bring me good luck? I said, yes, 100%. He said, all right. And he gave me the donation and took the book. So if you believe in it, the people will also believe in it. But if we're not believing in it, if we still think, oh, this is something which we just do part-time, or something which we do once a week, or something external, or not so important, oh, this person, he's got his money, I'm sure he must buy so many things, he needs it badly for so many things, then our desire to give them Prabhupada's books and Krishna consciousness is not stronger than their desire for sense gratification, and we cannot convince them. We should be so determined for preaching. Just like Prabhupada gave the example, when your house is on fire, even if you don't speak the language, you can convince the other people to come and help you to put out the fire. So, in the same way, we may not be so familiar with all the mentalities and languages and idiosyncrasies of all these people in these lands. Because virtually speaking, right now in Australia, you've got the whole world. You've got people from everywhere who come here. So that is a great advantage to preach Krishna consciousness. Because everybody in this mood of let's break with the past and start a new life. Let's go to Australia and study or work or explore. So they're all like, okay, let's turn the page and start the new chapter. And that means they can actually start Krishna consciousness. Because if people would be in their own surroundings, their own environment of Ishwaroha Mahambodhi, I'm the controller, I'm the enjoyer, I'm this body and these relatives and this family and everything is so important. For many it is very difficult to take up something new. Very self-conscious. That's why sometimes when you distribute in a devotee, people try to avoid you because they can see you as something religious and nothing to God. And the worst thing is not that they have to deal with you. The worst thing is that other people are watching them. Oh, he talks to this Hare Krishna. Right? It's the social stigmata. It's the reputation. Oh my, you know, I got a reputation to keep up, you know. It's like sometimes I go company to company and the boss says, you know, actually I'm into all these spiritual things, but don't tell any of my workers. This will not fly, you know. They will lose respect. They will think I've grown soft on my old age. I'll give you a donation, even a good donation. I'll even take books for the whole company, but don't go to my workers. That's alright. Okay, we keep this between us. That's alright. But we have to be so determined to preach Krishna consciousness. Enthusiasm, determination, endeavoring. With great determination. It's like to the Prabhupada, he gave the example. When he was a young child, his father gave him a toy gun. And actually the point was, Prabhupada told the devotees, you see this mark here on my forehead? And they said, yes. He said, you want to know from where this mark came from? He said, one time, his father gave him a toy gun. And then he said, no, I want a second gun. Because I have two hands, so I need two guns. Father said, no, I'm not going to give you two guns. One is enough. So he lay down on the floor and started kicking with his fist and his feet on the floor. And he was banging his head on the floor. And there was a stone there. So he said, I hurt my head there. So that's why I have this mark here. So then my father, of course, he gave me the second gun. Because I was so determined to get whatever I wanted. Yeah? Or just like when Prabhupada went to the West, he wrote to all his god brothers. Please come and preach. Please help me. Please send me books, send me devotees, send me mridanga, send me titis. And some of them send him something, but most of them were too busy with their own affairs. And Prabhupada became very determined. You can say in a way like Dhruva Maharaj, that he was determined to establish something greater than what had been achieved by any of the previous charters. And Krishna gave him whatever he desired. He was sitting in that park in New York. He was alone. He hardly had people who came for his programs. And that man who sat down towards him, beside him, Prabhupada told him, I have so many centers, I have so many temples, all the world, so many devotees are there, so many books are there. But that was before it happened. The Prabhupada already knew. Because he was so determined to spread Lord Krishna's glory all over the world. That's why Krishna empowered him to do the impossible. To get people who are so engrossed in material sense gratification to give up their ways and to take to Krishna's service and to become mad after Krishna. That is impossible, materially speaking, possible. And then in those days, it was considered that if a Swami doesn't cross the ocean. Because whatever is outside of India is pure and sheer decadence. So if you cross the ocean, you will fall down. There's no way you can maintain your brahminical principles. Not only was Prabhupada maintaining his brahminical principles, but he was picking up wretches, yavanas, chandalas, people from all backgrounds, and he was bringing them to the platform. Not only of brahmanas, but of Vaishnavas, of devotees, of Krishna. That is his great achievement. That is his extraordinary contribution to this world. Now we may say, Prabhupada is not here, he has passed on, what is our chance, what can we do? You see, one pure devotee made such a difference. He made such a huge dent into the material world. So, all we have to do is become pure devotees. It's that easy. It's that simple. You just have to become a pure devotee. And then you can actually make a huge difference in this world. So if you want to make a difference, if you want to be the change, as they say, you have to become a pure devotee. Then you can change people's lives. And factually speaking, that is why I love to go on book distribution. Because you can actually mess with people's lives. It's none of this, you know, you're okay, I'm okay, I pat you on the back, you pat me on the back, bye-bye, have a nice day. None of that. It's you, me, here, right now. Full on. And it's very much fun. It's great. It's wonderful. And you have the advantage of being in a country where people are so appreciative, so open-minded, it should be illegal. It's unperceivable. If you come from some place where people have a hard time even talking to devotees or stopping. I had yesterday two Christians. One was an Indian person from Mumbai, he's a banker. He was there in suit and tie, smoking a cigarette. And you might say, not a very likely candidate to get Bhagavad Gita, you know. He smokes his cigarette, he's in his business attire, and he's there on his, you know, 10-minute lunch, cigarette break, trying to get some vitamins and minerals, you know, for his And he's from India, and he's a Christian. A lot of good qualities, you know, combined in one person. But if you think, it's not going to happen, then it's not going to happen. But if you think, oh, you're from India, wonderful, you're qualified, here for you, and you're just enthusiastic, then the person will just accept it. And he was ready. He said, yes, I've seen you fellows. Yes, I know what you guys are doing. Yes, I want to read this book. Because I presented it to him in a non-judgmental and in a non-confrontational way. I did not challenge him. I did not ridicule him. I did not condescend, speak in a condescending way. But I was appreciating of what he was doing. You have to give people some appreciation. It's a tough life out there, you know? It's a hard world. People are fighting, they're struggling to survive, to keep their head above the water, keep their nose clean. And they don't need some religious person to come and to speak down on them and to make them feel bad. No. They will feel bad themselves once they read these books. And like it is explained here in the purport, once you realize, I'm a sinful rascal, I'm a wretched rascal, then you can feel bad on your own. But you don't have to tell me that. Especially not if you're half my age. And you don't even have a job. You never had kids. You never paid a mortgage. You don't have to talk to me like that. So we have to give people some respect. You know what happens? The funny thing is, when you give people respect, they will respect you. When you listen to them, they actually start listening to you. When you take them seriously, not too seriously, but a little bit seriously, they will take you seriously. And we're not doing these things on the basis of the body, and we're not doing these things just because it's a mutual admiration society and we're trying to fulfill our goal. No. What we're doing is because we see that in every living entity there is Jivatma, there is the parts and parcel of Krishna, and there is Paramatma, the Super Soul. So we go out on preaching, we go out on Sankirtan, you go out there to meet your eternal brothers and sisters. You go out there to meet Krishna in the hearts of all these living entities. And if you're seeing it in such a way, then all it takes is one spark of inspiration. And that person will say, yes, sure, why not? And another person, he was from France, also Catholic, and our minister, what's ministers? Is that Protestant or Catholic? Somebody's a minister.
Could be both.
Huh? He was Christian. And one of his sons is a minister in a church here in Australia. And he saw this is not Christianity, you know? He was very clear about it, and I was very clear about it too. But he said, I like what you're doing. I appreciate this. Because nowadays everybody wants to be somebody else. Everybody's pretending to be something different. It's like everybody working 2-3 odd jobs. You don't have any more these career people where they just do one thing. It's like, oh, I'm a student / waitress / taxi driver / web designer / this, that, and the other thing, you know? Well, that means you're just a bunch of wannabes. Who are you? What do you want to achieve? Nobody really puts their foot down and says, okay, all in. Huh? All my chips on the table, all in. I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do this for good. No. Always keep the options open. Always hop around. Do a few things at the same time. So, in Krishna consciousness, you cannot succeed with such a mentality. Even though you might be doing different services, your heart should be that of a preacher. Because that is Srila Prabhupada's move, Paraduka Duki. When he sees the suffering of other living entities, he feels that suffering. He doesn't think, oh, well, you deserve it, you know. You should suffer. You should go to hell. No, that is not our sampradaya. That is a slightly different movement. We should feel the suffering of the living entity and try to alleviate it by giving them Krishna consciousness. So, we have Krishna consciousness in the form of these wonderful literatures who are none different from Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam is the literary incarnation of Krishna. And people who actually read Srila Prabhupada's books, they will get to understand what is the body, what is the soul, what is the super soul. And just by understanding these three things, they actually become wise. And they become more advanced than 99.9% of the population. Simply by knowing these three things. It's quite astounding. Because this knowledge is missing. People don't know. They still think they're their bodies, believe it or not. But there's still some people out there who think in such a way. And it is our job to convince them otherwise. And because their time is very precious, and our time too, they don't like to be convinced of different viewpoints. We give them these books, and then Prabhupada is convincing them. And all of a sudden, you know, when the coin drops, they have this, aha, now I figured it out, now it makes sense. When they have this kind of realization, then they can start their spiritual life in a powerful way. I had so many people yesterday who just love Hare Krishna. I had a mom with her two girls. One was about 8, one was about 3, and they were all just bouncing around her. And she was like, "Where is your restaurant? My daughters need halva. You know, I need halva." What? You know? So they were like, you know, like they needed their dose. You know, they needed a serious fix of prasada because they're just anxiety. So I said, "Don't you worry. You know, it is readily available." Near other people. And there was a musician, street musician, who was playing. And I said, wow. You might say, oh no, come on, move on. Don't do this here. You know, I'm distributing books here, man. Get moving. I said, wow. The Lord has been very kind.
He has provided life entertainment today, you know? So he came there and put his case out and started, you know, to do his jazzy, bluesy, folky thing. And people stopped. And I distributed books to them. So we were like a team, you know? Not like the guy with the big issue, you know, around the corner, who tried to come and chase us away. He thought we were getting money from everybody, and he wasn't, you know? So, that guy, every time somebody had bought a book, he was smiling. So he saw his music playing as a service to Krishna. And he wanted to share his happiness with others. Then I asked him, how long have you been doing this? He said, for 16 years I've been playing out here. And he bought a book. In the beginning he didn't have any money. I said, I'll come back later when you got some money. And he bought a book. So we may think from a material perspective, this person, not qualified, you know, mechanical engineer, forget it. But if the devotee would have been in contact with God, would have thought like that, then what would be our situation? What would be our faith? Huh? So no matter what the people's backgrounds are, you can take to Krishna consciousness from any position in life, from any situation. There is no preliminary qualification, no preliminary requirement necessary. So Srila Prabhupada, he has created our good fortune. Usually it's stated in the Shastra that if you practice devotional service, you have already performed so many yajnas, so many sacrifices, so much study, so much penance, so much austerity. Devotees ask Prabhupada, you've done none of this. How come you could practice devotional service? Prabhupada says, I have created you good fortune. So Prabhupada has made us fortunate. He has come here to this temple on several occasions. And he has established Krishna consciousness in a very powerful way in this country. So now we shouldn't think, oh, now it's just the aftermath, now it's just, you know, we're just carrying on and doing a little something here. No. There are big things to come. The question is, are we going to be part of them or not? Huh? Are we going to be instruments of change? Are we going to bring about the Hare Krishna revolution here in Australia? Because people are ripe. Huh? They're ripe for some serious preaching programs. If you test one grain of rice and you see it's cooked, you know the entire pot is cooked. So if you're not convinced that people are ripe for Krishna consciousness, you just have to pick up some books and go out on the street and talk to people. And you'll see how ripe they are for Krishna consciousness. You had wonderful preaching programs with Indradumna Swami, and hundreds and hundreds, thousands of people who were chanting and dancing, who were taking prasadam, who were appreciating Krishna. So, these people are devotees. Some may know it, some may not know it. Some may be attached to carry on in their old ways. Some of us may still be attached and carry on in their old ways. But they are devotees. It is our duty to engage them in devotional service, to give them the opportunity to render devotional service. That is our duty. That's why when we go out to preach, we don't go out to just argue with people, to convince them. No. We go out to give them the opportunity to render devotional service. But if they become upset, if they become disappointed, if they become angry, then that will be a disservice to Prabhupada and to Krishna. We should go out like ambassadors of goodwill. You know what an ambassador is? An ambassador is a person who is representing a country in a different country. So, when an ambassador does something, they don't think Mr. Smith, Anderson, you know, has done this. But they think this country has done this. Every act is like an act of state. So when the people see us out there on the street, we are not just, you know, such and such Das or Baby Dasi. But to them, we represent Prabhupada, Krishna, ISKCON, it's the Hare Krishnas. So we don't leave garbage lying around or empty boxes of books on Swanson Street. If you think, it doesn't matter, you know, tomorrow morning they'll clean it up.
No, but the people see. They see it. It's not acceptable. In certain countries, you can throw garbage in all 10 directions, and it's okay. But here, it's not acceptable. And the devotee should not do that anywhere. Because the Brahman is supposed to leave a place cleaner than he has found it. So we should always make sure that we are exemplary in all our activities. Don't think, oh, I'm a devotee of the Lord. I don't have to pay for my train fare or bus fare. I'm one of the good guys, right? God is on our side. Well, a few people think like that, and they're making wars. And at the end, everybody's destroyed. So we should not push our luck. We should understand that Krishna is in the heart of every living entity, and he's helping every living entity to advance in spiritual life. And if we need to be put into place, and if we need to be smashed, Krishna will smash us, because he's very kind. It is not that he loves to do that, that he loves to see us suffer, but he is more interested in our love, in our advancement, than to be the nice guy who just lets everybody play and have a good time. So the point of the class at the beginning was to be determined, enthusiastic and determined. If you have these two qualities, you can succeed in whatever activity you do in devotional service. You might not be the most skillful, you might not be the most intelligent, educated, you might not be the most anything, but if you're just enthusiastic and determined, you will succeed. Like one famous actor said, 50% of the success is just in turning up. You just have to show up and do your thing. So in Australia, all you have to do is, you have to pick up these books and go out there. And then things just happen. You know, you just put your boxes out and there's five people standing there and say, what is this, you know, can I have a look at this? I mean, they can practically come up to you. And you're like, no, I have to explain to this properly. You know, you just have to wait now. No, I don't have time. How much is it? You know, no, wait. I want to make my little speech here, you know? No. People want to get on with their lives, you know? So we have to be so determined. One time we were driving back from Sankirtan in Switzerland, and Harinamananda, he stopped and said, it's after Sankirtan. Day's done. We go home. And he just said, stop the car. And there was big buildings, flats. And he said, you see that light up there? I said, yeah. He said, give me a Srimad Bhagavatam set. So he gave him a box of Bhagavatam. After 10 minutes, he came back. And he asked him, do you know these people? He said, no. But I just knew they needed to have a Srimad Bhagavatam set. So he just went up there, got him to pay $200 or $300. They took the Bhagavatam set, and then we went home. Very nonchalantly, you know. It was not like a big thing. It was just, if you make up your mind that this person should get the mercy of Krishna, Krishna will make it his business that this person will get Krishna. And this time, before the marathon, I hope you don't mind rambling on here. Another time before the marathon, I was sick with a cold, fever, and that's a very bad thing, because in those days, you know, we had big competitions, and if you just lose one day or 2 days, you're like off the chart, you know, it's very hard to catch up, you're so competitive, it's like, you know, Harinam and me, we would call each other up every evening, and we would say, so how did he go, how was it? And the other one would say, oh, bad, you know, very bad. It was really tough, you know. Only 220. But actually, he had done 350, you know. Or something like that. And how did you do? Oh, also bad, you know. So it was all like psyching each other out. So you knew by how, you know, how much that person was playing. You knew, actually, they've done great, you know. They've done wonderful. So the point was, I was sick like a dog, and I couldn't move, and I was really having a hard time. So then Rohini Sura Prabhu, our Sankirtan leader, who's a disciple of Prabhupada, long-time book distributor from Switzerland, he read Prabhupada's books that if a person is healthy, he can take water and gargle with it,
and spit it on a person who is sick, and then that person will get healthy. Did you read that? It's there. It's there in the book. There. So I said, okay, you got to strip down, you know, got to strip down to my coping, lie on the floor. And he took water, and he gurgled, and he spat it all over me. Nothing splashed, he spat all over me. And we were like, this is too much, you know. And some were saying, you can't do this, you know, or this is offensive. And we were having fun, we were having a good time. The next day I was out on the street distributing. The fever was gone. It was gone. It just disappeared. Because he believed. In the Shastra, he believed in what Prabhupada said. And we asked him, huh?
You're a bunch of fanatics.
And many times we asked him for blessings. So today I want to do 200 books. Can you give me the blessings? He said, yes, blessings. He said, we don't believe your blessings. You have to take the dust from your feet. He would hold his foot up. And some would say, this is crazy, you know, you go to hell. He said, I don't care. If you can distribute more books, I'll give you the blessings. And we went out and we believed it and we did it. It happened. And it can happen again today for you, for each and every one of you, if you believe in it. But if you don't believe in it, if you think it's impossible, I'm just here killing time, then that's what you're going to get. You feel sorry for yourself every now and then, throw in a bit of devotional service, and somehow, you know, stay above the water. No. If you believe that this Krishna consciousness movement is the most powerful, the most potent, the most ecstatic thing there is in this universe, and you want to share it with others, and you go out on a limb to give people Krishna consciousness, Krishna within their heart will inspire them to participate. And people will come, they will walk up to you, and they will say, are you one of the Hare Krishnas? For sure? Prove it to me. You know? And then what do you want to do? You know, show him your tikka, your neck beat. No, you have to be in the consciousness, in the spirit of the devotee. Sometimes people say, I don't believe you're a monk, you know. Don't believe. And how do you prove it, right? You have to prove it by your example. Example is the only convincing thing. So, and if you're feeling a little bit bad and a little bit despondent, that is a good thing. That is not a bad thing. Yeah. In the Purport it said that sinful people come to the Krishna conscious movement and after getting purified, they feel a little bit bad about their past activities and their different sinful activities. But if not, that then we should go around and brag, you know, I was really something, you know. I had it together. I mean, you know what I did? Oh no, I was better than you, you know, I did this, and whoa, no, really, you were into that, oh wow, you know. And then one just starts getting lost in material, in mundane talk, and mundane sound vibration. And even though one knows it's all Maya, but one thinks, I was very expert in being in Maya, you know. I was the best. The Prophet said, we're not the best, we're not the most anything, we're just insignificant. Huh? So that is actually a very safe position. If we are realizing our minute identity as a jiva, as a spirit soul, that is something very comforting, that is something very, which should make us very peaceful. Because as such, we are forced to take shelter of Krishna's lotus feet. We are forced to take shelter of the mercy of Sri Sri Radhavallabha. And if we see the Lord dancing and playing his flute and having wonderful pastimes with his eternal consort, we should be so overjoyed with happiness that we feel I have to share this with others. We're teaching the book distribution course in Mayapur now for 5 days. Before Gopani. And in the feedback forms, one devotee wrote that simply because of tasting the prasadam which you provided during this seminar, I have to go out and distribute these books. Because these people are so unfortunate. They will never taste food which is so good, like this prasada. So it is my duty to go out and give them the books, so they can come into the association of devotees to taste this prasada. And it's a fact. People, I mean, before we came to Krishna consciousness, have you ever tasted something which is just slightly similar? No way. Just no chance. And even if it was halava from last Sunday feast, you know, which is being distributed after 5 days at a festival somewhere, it is still out of this universe. Why? Because it's in contact. It's being in contact with Krishna. Do you all remember the first time you came to the temple and you smell the incense, you smell the flower, you had that first plate of prasadam? Remember that taste? Most of the devotees, after 30 years, they know exactly what was the item the first time they took prasadam. Do you remember the first time you took prasadam? Are you?
Yep.
Do you know exactly what you ate?
We got thrown out the window.
You were. And then?
Raja Lakshmi gave me and my friend some love, you know, those wormy love butter.
Yeah.
And he gave me one. I said, "What do you think of this?" He said, "We'll eat it." "Oh, we'll eat it." Okay.
And how did it feel?
It was okay.
It was okay.
It was different.
It was different, yeah.
Yeah, it was different.
It was different. Prasadam should be nice. It should be very attractive, and we should distribute it in a very attractive way. It's not like in the former days, you know, they would go out with a pot of halava, and they would take these ice cream scoopers, and they'd say, "Hold out your hand." You have people, you know, in suit and tie, they just come from business, you know, lawyers, bankers, "Hold out your hand." "What do you mean, hold out your hand?" "Yeah, hold out your hand, you know." Put a scoop of halava, you know, sugar and butter dripping all over. Not very cool. Not very sophisticated. That may work at a music festival, you know, at a concert for young hippies, but not in the city. So we have to be representable, because people will judge this Krishna conscious movement to our appearance. So there is a great responsibility. There is a great there's a wealth of opportunity, and there's a great responsibility which lies on us. So, every day, when we take shelter of the holy name of the Lord, chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. We should do so in a helpless mood, crying out to the Lord, "Please, empower me, please enable me to give Krishna consciousness to others." And then the Lord will very kindly, very happily do so. And the Lord's devotees will also help you and assist you in your endeavor. And then we can finally come free from this platform of I and mine, I, me and mine. For that is a very sorry state of affair. Thank you for your attention and patience and hospitality. Hare Krishna. Any questions? Yes.
I have two comments. Number one, what you presented, people taking their money and spending in casino. It's a compulsive neurosis. Thousands and thousands of dollars they are wasting, ruining their families. That's number one point, which you made very clearly. And second thing about prasadam, I still remember I used to take my little daughter to Sydney temple, and she will clean the whole plate in less than 3 minutes. And at home, you people nagging her, she won't be getting.
Yeah, kids are fuzzy eaters, really fuzzy. But when they have something different, they just go for it. Puts one in a humble position.
Wonderful lecture. Thank you.
Hare Krishna. Any questions? Okay, today is Tuesday. It's not as good as Monday, but it's still not bad on the chart, you know, of the top 7.
Because you might think, you know, a materialist thinks, oh, Monday, oh, Tuesday. But a devotee thinks, wow, another opportunity, another day. Although the weekend will be wonderful, the weekend will be great because so many people come here and we have so much opportunity for preaching. But during the week, we have so much opportunity to go out and do preaching to all those people who are less fortunate, who are not coming here. So we should be more enthusiastic. Monday, your enthusiasm level should be high. Huh? And Tuesday, you become purified from all your preaching on Monday. And you should already be, you know, warmed up, really going. So, I wish you a wonderful week in preaching Krishna consciousness. Thanks for keeping this atmosphere and this temple in such a wonderful preaching spirit. It is so attractive. And for being such exemplary Vaishnavas, engaging all these different types of preaching activities to make these people here fortunate. You may not see the result because our vision is limited by so many factors. But if you would go out there and you would taste and test, you would see it is ripe. People are ripe for Krishna consciousness. So please go on doing so, and I'm convinced that you will harvest many, many fruits which you can offer to their Lordship Sri Sri Radha Vallabha, Sri Sri Jagannath Baladev, Subhadra Devi, and Sri Sri Gaurang Thai. And they will be most happy, they will be most pleased with your service. And if the Lord is pleased and Srila Prabhupada is pleased, nothing is unattainable. What's that verse? If you have the pleasure of Guru Krishna, everything is achievable, everything is attainable.
Yes,
thank you for that. It's still early, you know. Before breakfast, my ram is not yet woken up, you know. Alright, thank you very much. Over to the Prabhupada. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.